topic of my presentation, semiotic superdiversity in an urban linguistic landscape, a case study in Mozambique. For those of you who may not know, Mozambique is located in Southern Africa. We have as neighboring countries South Africa, Zimbabwe, Malawi, Tanzania, and so on and so forth. And to the east, we have the Indian Ocean. This is the outline of my presentation and what I intend to do in the next 15 to 20 minutes is to go through the issues that I have listed here. I will start by revising the issue of multilingualism in Africa. I will be talking about linguistic diversity and superdiversity in other parts of the world, with a specific focus on Europe. I will be talking very briefly about the concept of superdiversity. I'll be reviewing monolingual language policies, linguistic diversity in Mozambique, because Mozambique is the focus of my research. I will be talking also very briefly about language education policies, awareness, diversity, linguistic landscape, linguistic human rights in education. And then I will stop with a few questions for reflection. And I would call them takeaways, things that we should take with us and as food for thought to inspire our research within this context of globalization, diversity, or diversities. You may be looking at a very colorful image. Some of you may be familiar with that. In Mozambique, we call the clothing, wrapping clothes that you're looking at, the capulana. For me, the capulana, which is used for a variety of purposes, the capulana symbolizes diversity. It's so multicolor, it's got lots of different patterns, and I thought that maybe this would be the right image to start my presentation with. I start by saying that one of the most defining features of countries in Africa, many countries, if not all countries in Africa, has been their multilingual and multicultural nature. Most of the inhabitants of the African continent speak different languages, 2, 3, more. Very rarely you meet an individual who speaks or who only communicates in one language. Therefore, citizens of Africa, most of them are either bilingual or plurilingual and proficient in a variety of languages. I selected 3 countries, and one of them is Nigeria. Some of you may know that Nigeria has over 522 living languages. I thought I should bring also Tanzania. Most of us, when we think of Tanzania, we think that Tanzania has got only English and Kiswahili, but in fact, Tanzania has over 125 languages. Right here, that I also decided to bring Mozambique as one example of such countries, such multilingual countries, where we have between 20 to 43 languages spoken. You may ask me, why is it that you bring such a large range from 20 to 43 languages instead of a precise number of languages? Mozambique is special in a way that so far we have not conducted dialectological study in order to ascertain the number of languages spoken in the country. Different scholars mention different languages depending on the sources that they may use. I usually work with a number of 20 languages because 20 languages have so far been codified and they are used in its written form. My next slide talks about increasing diversity and super diversity, not just in Africa, but also in other geographies. And I write here that as a result of increasing mobility and migration, European countries, which were once perceived as being relatively homogeneous in linguistic and cultural terms, now also display growing levels of linguistic diversity. If not, and I decided to borrow a term from Vertovec, European countries, similarly to African countries and countries in Asia and Latin America, are also becoming super diverse. In my next slide, I comment very briefly on the concept of super diversity. And I write that while for Vertovec, super diversity is characterized by tremendous increase in the categories of migrants, not only in terms of nationality, ethnicity, language, and religion, but also in terms of reasons, patterns, and itineraries of migration, process of insertion into the labor and housing markets of the host society, and so on. Bloomert and Rampton claim that migration makes communicative resources like language varieties and scripts globally mobile, and this affects neighborhoods in very different corners of the world. We look at the linguistic landscape of Maputo City. Maputo is the capital city of Mozambique. We can see that it has been influenced also by not just by the colonization process, which as a result of which we have Portuguese as the main language, the main official language, but it has also been influenced by migration and mobility. If we look at Maputo City, we see that there are lots of the linguistic landscapes Maputo displays lots of languages that were not traditionally associated with the Mozambican territory. I write that despite of increasing multilingualism and linguistic diversity, the language policies and the language education policies in many parts of the global north and global south are still officially monolingual. Societies and school systems still insist on official institutional monolingualism, and most of them tend to make a blind eye to diversity. Most societies, most school systems seem to adopt language policies that are policies of assimilation. One language, and usually the dominant language, official language, is chosen at the expense of a variety of languages. When I look at the Mozambican school system, for instance, I realize that in our classrooms, we have lots and lots of mother tongues, but our official or the language medium of instruction is only, exclusively Portuguese. Mozambique is one of the most highly linguistically diverse countries in the world. Portuguese has been the only and exclusive language, official language, and therefore the only medium of instruction since 1975, the time of the country's independence from the Portuguese colonial power. The Portuguese language has been coexisting alongside various languages of African origin, mainly Bantu languages, the Mozambican Bantu languages, or the Mozambican national languages are all part of the Bantu language family. In this slide, I indicate that the Portuguese language is spoken only by about slightly over 50% of the population as a second language. And when we look at the number of Portuguese language speakers in the country, we can see that it's approaching 11% Portuguese first language speakers, even though the language has been has been used as official language in countries for about 40 years now. And the Bantu languages, on the other hand, are spoken by over 90% of the population. It should be highlighted as well that other European languages such as English, French, and also German are also present in the country's linguistic landscape. If we look at the role played by the English language in Mozambique, we can see that it plays a relevant role because Mozambique is like an island. It's the only Portuguese-speaking country in the region, and all the other countries are English-speaking countries. Therefore, English plays a key role because it's a language of most of the countries of the region. It's a language used in many continental organizations, regional organizations such as the Southern African Development Community, the African Union. And I should also say that English is an important language in the country because Mozambique is one of, I think, the only non-English, the only country that was not a former British colony that's a member of the Commonwealth. So English is a very important role in the country. We have both English and French in our education system as the main foreign languages taught from the lower secondary up to the university. Over the centuries, there has also been a coexistence with languages of Asian origin. Mozambique has been hosting for centuries populations of Indian descent, people from Goa, Pakistan, China. Increasingly, Chinese are migrating into the country. So obviously, we also have those Asian languages in our linguistic landscape. Lately, we have been observing the presence of other languages, other immigrant African languages, especially languages from the Democratic Republic of Congo, Rwanda. With the Rwandan genocide, there were lots of refugees in the country, Burundi, languages from Burundi, as well as languages from Somalia. There are lots of languages, African immigrant languages in our country. I write here that increasing multilingualism and language diversity appear to bring challenges, especially to the school system. These challenges have to do with what we do with all languages that are in our classrooms. How do we manage them? How do we deal with students who don't have Portuguese, for instance, as their first, as their mother tongue? Multilingualism and increasing linguistic diversity also bring problems to society because not everyone is able to communicate in Portuguese, but those people need to go to the hospital, they need to go to courts, they need to go to use public institutions of the within the public administration. How do they communicate with the public service? Right here that many voices, civil society, academics, and others have pointed to the need to give more space and more visibility to Mozambican languages, which up until recently were restricted to the home, to the family, and to the informal domains. The Mozambican languages have been for a long period viewed as having a much lower prestige and a marginalized status, and they've been they are considered to be at the bottom of the sociolinguistic hierarchy. When we talk to Mozambicans and we ask them to define a language hierarchy, very often, and we are talking about urban Mozambicans living in the rural areas, very often at the top of their individual hierarchy, they're going to put English. And when we ask, why is English an important language? Because we need for our studies, we need in order to communicate with the neighbors, and they present lots of that. It's an international language, a global language, etc. And the second language in that individual or societal hierarchy, it's Portuguese. And the reasons giving for Portuguese being important, it's because Portuguese is the country's official language, and you have to speak Portuguese in order to function in this society. And at the bottom of those, if there are other languages that hierarchy, it's going to be any other modern European languages such as French, Spanish, etc. And at the very bottom, you find the Mozambican Bantu languages. The Mozambican languages have long been seen solely as symbols of the Mozambican cultures and identities, and nothing more. And there were voices of academics and others saying that, oh, we shouldn't waste the scarce resources, the scarce financial resources, invest in those languages. We should, because they are more or less dead ends to nowhere. However, we observe a shift in the country. And this shift, this change of mindset comes as a result of a number of studies conducted by UNESCO and that say that using and learning and studying in one's mother tongue is a linguistic human right. We also see changes in the Mozambican's mindset about the need to use the Mozambican language in education because of the many academic benefits in education in one's mother tongue. There has been in Mozambique, but also in many other countries in the region and in the continent and elsewhere, an increasing awareness to diversity, all kinds of diversity, racial, ethnic diversity, you mentioned cultural, but certainly linguistic and cultural diversity. An awareness to the existing benefits to the individual at various levels, but also to societies at large of the use of one's mother tongue, be it majority, a minority, any language that is one's mother tongue brings benefits, it has been said. Benefits in terms of student participation, in terms of academic success, interaction, the teachers, students, etc., etc. Therefore, I write here an analysis of society and language education policies and practices through an ethnographic semiotic lens also point to existing challenges. Not everything is positive when it comes to language diversity. There are quite a number of challenges of various natures. And in the Mozambican context, when we talk about the challenges of promoting linguistic diversity, we often think about the issue of cost first, what are the cost implications? And we also have a huge homework. These need to change people's perceptions and attitudes and views in relation to language and tell them that it's not promoting Mozambican national languages. It's not just about preserving the cultures and identities. It's much more than that. And we also have a lot of work as academics to help inform the official discourse on languages and try to convince Mozambican authorities and the education authorities that assimilation policies are not always the only answer. We have also a big homework in try to change this perceived language hierarchies because we have realized that language is fundamental in a number of areas, not only in education, but also in order to promote development, to talk about issues of environmental and climate change, to talk about the sustainability and lots of human rights and lots of other issues. When it comes to linguistic human rights in education, it should be mentioned that Mozambique has adopted recently, quite recently, a mother tongue-based bilingual education program, and within the scope of which we have Portuguese. At any given time, we have Portuguese as one of the languages medium of instruction in parallel with another language. So far, 16 Mozambican languages have been used or are used in this bilingual-based mother tongue education program. And I write here that despite existing challenges and the bottlenecks associated with the promotion of linguistic human rights in education, we believe that this initiative is a true milestone towards the valorization of Mozambican Bantu languages and towards promoting their prestige and status. I'm quickly approaching the end of my presentation, but I thought that I should share with you a number of questions that remain to be answered. One of such questions is, how do we finance the development of didactic materials, course books and other reading materials in 16 languages? It's not an easy process, it's not really cheap, but how do we go about doing this? There have been lots of suggestions, lots of studies, exploratory studies, some of them saying that because we share cross-border languages, a number of cross-border languages with the neighboring countries, for instance, Shangana with South Africa, perhaps we should try to liaise, perhaps we should try to see the extent to which some of the existing manuals and reading materials in the South African Shangan could not be transplanted, should not be borrowed to the Mozambican context. We share quite a number of border languages also with Zimbabwe. Shona, to what extent can we not borrow reading materials from Zimbabwe in Shona and use in the Mozambican context? Or for that sake, materials in Kiswahili, which is a language that we share with Tanzania. Another question that remains to be answered is, how do we improve teacher training? Teacher training in order to teach all the other languages that are not Portuguese. How do we go about doing that? There is the issue of costs, there is the issue of who should teach which language. And then the question of our attitudes. How do we change attitudes? How do we improve the mindset of Mozambicans so that they can start looking at Mozambican languages in a more positive way? And finally, amidst all this confusion, because it's more confusion, it's a real challenge. We already have the many Mozambican languages, but we see that the situation, the picture is getting even more complicated with the presence of migrant languages. How do we go about including those languages brought by immigrants? How do we map them? How many immigrant languages are there? We don't know. The Mozambican censuses, the population censuses, usually refers to the language spoken in the country, and then it says other languages are spoken. We have this homework of trying to find out what is hidden in these other languages. And finally, I write here that super diversity is a defining feature of Mozambican society. Its capital city, Maputo, as well as all the other cities, are linguistically and culturally diverse and heterogeneous, providing a unique opportunity for sociolinguistic research on issues of language attitudes, hierarchies, tolerance or intolerance, and the dynamics of and linguistic consequences of mobility and mixing, just to mention a few issues that we still have to look at. And I will finish my presentation here.